This episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast is brought to you by the Find Food Freedom membership. If you are ready to walk away from diet culture, find food freedom, and enjoy your life again, you can learn more and sign up at findfoodfreedommembership.com. Don't forget to use code IWANTFOODFREEDOM for 3 months completely free. Welcome to the Find Food Freedom podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Find Food Freedom. Find Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Find Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast. Today, we are jumping in to truly a TikTok comment that I got on a video. And I think the video was, or the comment was completely unrelated to the video. So I don't even need to give you context of the video, but I'm going to read this person's comment verbatim. So the comment is as follows. Can we talk about the fact that it is uncomfy being overweight? Please know that I'm using heavy air quotes with the word overweight because I do not use the word overweight. I also do not use the word obese or obesity in my practice. So I'm using heavy air quotes here. Back to the person's comment. They said, I'm trying to love my body, but I don't feel great. Oh, I just want to thank this person for leaving this comment. I know so many other people feel this way because I've sat with hundreds and hundreds of people in session that have felt this way. But really, I wanted to unpack it. I was going to reply to them in a TikTok video, but I just felt like a video wouldn't be long enough. Like I felt like this had to be a podcast episode. I also wanted to put a quick disclaimer that this entire episode is for informational and educational purposes only. This does not substitute going to a registered dietitian or certified intuitive eating counselor. Although I am those things, I'm just going off of this person's two sentence comment. I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about their health status, their age, you know, their socioeconomic status. There's so many factors that fit into this, but I'm going to respond the best I can and really come at it from a fair, unbiased place and kind of pull all angles in. Another disclaimer, there is construction going on at my house. So my Frenchie Biggs is in my office with me. So if you hear him snorting, barking, or even ripping ass as he does quite often, I promise it's not me. So I just like to say that because if you have a Frenchie or a dog, but if you specifically have a Frenchie, you know how loud they can be in so many different ways noises come out of them. All right, let's get back to why we're here today. So I just first, I want to validate this person's comment that they left. that if, and you, if you're like, yes, I feel this way, I've said these exact words, I resonate so much with this comment, I want to validate that you're allowed to feel discomfort, pain, or uncomfortable in your body. I want to normalize it. I want to validate it. Because I think I see so much on social, specifically of people maybe newer to the intuitive eating paradigm or framework, that are like, fuck intentional weight loss. Like, it's not about weight loss. And don't get me wrong, it's not about weight loss. That, like, that's true. But I feel like for those who say comments like this, that are like, can we talk about how uncomfortable it is being in my current body? That can be really a really big turnoff and really like icky if you're just seeing someone constantly being like, it's not about weight, it's not about weight. And this person doesn't understand the framework. So I feel like there's a way we can maybe like meld these conversations together. So I want to normalize it's uncomfortable being in our body sometimes. I also need to recognize my thin privilege. A lot of my privileges, you know, I don't understand what it's like to reside in a larger body. I'm not going to pretend to understand. All I can do is let you know that I hear you, I validate your experience, and I have sat with hundreds and hundreds of clients that reside in larger bodies. So I listen to their experience, I hold space for their experience, but I'm never going to pretend to understand. So if you feel more comfortable hearing this information from somebody who resides in a larger body, you can always head over to our Instagram. We are constantly referring and highlighting other colleagues of ours that are in the anti-diet space that reside in larger bodies that are doing the exact same work as I am, and then some, right? So you can always get this information from somebody with lived experience. Now, with that being said, as a professional, I'm going to take the research and what I know about body image work, what I know about science, weight science, and intuitive eating and all of the things, and answer this question to the best of my ability. So first of all, when someone comes to me saying this, like, can we talk about that it's extremely uncomfortable to be in my current body? That's what I'm going to change this to instead of saying overweight. I want to validate that. I want to normalize it. I want to say, tell me more, right? If someone comes to me in session with this, tell me more, right? Keep going. And I validate you. Like, who am I to say, no, it's not. You don't need to focus on weight loss. You don't need to, like, nope, absolutely not. I want to validate and tell this person, like, tell me more. Tell me more about what's going on in your body. I also want to ask some questions, some open-ended questions of, if you're someone who's saying, can we talk about how uncomfy it is to be in my current body? Are you feeling physically unpleasant? And are you coupling that with emotional unpleasantness? Because I want to make it explicitly clear that feeling discomfort, feeling uncomfortable in your body, feeling physical pain, that is different than feeling emotionally unpleasant. And what I mean by that is feeling shame about your body size, using your body as a scapegoat and saying, I'm feeling all of these physical things due to the size of my body. I'm such a bad person. My body sucks. I hate my body. Those are two different things. And why this is important is because when we have dieted for 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I find it very common for people to couple their physical unpleasantness with their mental or emotional unpleasantness about their body. And then it becomes like this jumbled ball of unpleasantness where we don't even know what we're feeling. We can't separate the physical from the mental, emotional. And so I ask you that because it's really common for them to be coupled together. And so where we're going to go from here in this episode is we're going to talk about, once we are able to uncouple these. So I'm already like right now, I'm like, oh shit, there's got to be a part two to this episode, because this part one is going to be, if you're able to say and identify, I am feeling physically uncomfortable in my body, I'm going to respond to that. Now, if you're saying, oh, I mean, yeah, I'm feeling physically uncomfortable, but I'm also feeling mentally and emotionally uncomfortable, and it's all balled into one, and I need to separate this, there's going to be a part two to this episode, because then we need to talk about, are you feeling mentally and emotionally uncomfortable in your body? That's a different conversation. Today, we're going to focus on if you are physically uncomfortable in your body, where we're going to go from there. And please note that if you are feeling mentally and emotionally uncomfortable in your body, you're feeling a lot of guilt and shame around food. You're feeling a lot of guilt and shame around your body. You speak very negatively to yourself. You can still listen to this conversation today. It's not like you can't, but usually if I was in session with a client talking about this, we need to unpack the mental and emotional as well. And sometimes first, again, it depends on the person. There's so much nuance to this conversation, but I just really want to make that distinction. I want to make it very clear that some of you, if I was working one-on-one with you, if you were my client, again, this is so like hypothetical, we got to separate these into buckets, right? Physical unpleasantness, mental and emotional unpleasantness, two different buckets. And I might go to a different, depending on who I'm talking to, I might go to one bucket first over the other. But today's bucket is the feeling physically unpleasant bucket. That's what we're going to talk about. And so then the next question, right, I would ask to someone, or the first question truly that I started this episode with, I said, tell me more. You feel uncomfy in your body. Tell me more. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? Explain it to me. Let's talk about it. And I'm going to unpack just a few different things that I've done in session with clients before, or people have come to me with these, you know, lived experiences, and just kind of use them as examples. So some people might say to me, okay, I feel physically unpleasant in my body, and I'm experiencing shortness of breath. I feel physically unpleasant in my body, and I'm experiencing knee pain. I'm experiencing like stiffness in my joints, and like I'm not very flexible. I don't have much range of motion. So some really simple daily tasks are really difficult for me. Clothes are not fitting my body comfortably. I have low energy every day. You know, it's really hard for me to walk up and down the stairs. Okay. So I'm just giving a ton of different examples right now. Now, I want to go back to something I kind of chatted about a little bit already about, you know, thin privilege and recognizing someone being in a smaller body versus a larger body. Please know that all bodies can have body image issues. All bodies can struggle. We can all feel emotionally and mentally unpleasant in our bodies. We can all also experience physical unpleasantness in our body, right? All sized bodies can have shortness of breath, knee pain, you know, limited range of motion, you know, not a lot of flexibility, very unflexible. Clothes can fit our bodies very tightly, no matter what body we're in, if we're putting clothes on our body that are too small for our body. So these things can happen to all size bodies. But I also want to make a very big distinction that those that reside in larger bodies have way more discrimination, oppression, fat shaming, weight stigma done to them in the world every day, simply for existing, versus those who reside in a straight-sized body or a air quotes normal body by diet culture standards. So I want to just acknowledge that, because as we go through this conversation, I felt like it wouldn't be right if we didn't acknowledge that. But as I acknowledge that, let's go back to all bodies can experience this. So oftentimes when I work with clients and they go to the doctor, let's say this is a big trigger, you know, so many doctors, there's a lot of times like weight stigma or weight stigmatizing advice can be given. So I want you to think about if a doctor came to you and said, oh, you have shortness of breath. Have you tried losing weight? Oh, you're experiencing knee pain. Have you tried losing weight? Oh, you have low energy. Have you tried losing weight? Those are all examples of weight stigma. Someone like myself, if I went to the doctor for knee pain or shortness of breath, the doctor is not going to look at me and ask me if I've tried losing weight, because I live in a air quotes acceptable body by diet culture standards. So I want to acknowledge that. And this is where with clients, I like to arm them with, you know, different tools of turning back to the doctor and saying, okay, doc, if I resided in a smaller body, what advice would you have for me? If I resided in a larger body, instead of telling me to lose weight or go on a diet, what advice would you have for me? And this is where we can really get to the root of the advice that we're looking for. But I think this can be very helpful, because so many times when working with clients, and it's so valid, because like I just said, larger bodies, people that reside in larger bodies get so much discrimination and oppression and weight shaming done to them that ends up becoming our internal dialogue, right? We might feel shortness of breath or have trouble walking up the stairs. So then we scapegoat the body and say, my body is the problem. This is why I can't do this. This is why I'm experiencing these physical unpleasant symptoms. And I'm here to tell you that might not be the case. Can we get curious and challenge this thought process, this belief? I'm not here to discredit it being uncomfortable. I'm not here to tell you that you don't feel pain, because you are the expert of your body and I'm here to support you. But if you are somebody saying, I want to feel more physically pleasant in my body, then that next step would be, well, what are some things that we can do that are going to get you feeling more physically pleasant in your body? So for example, if someone is experiencing shortness of breath, first of all, I would recommend that they go to a physician that they feel safe with to make sure it's not a symptom of an underlying disease or condition, because shortness of breath can be, you know, contributed to many different conditions out there. So we want to make sure that is not something. Now, if it's more just the act of being winded with, let's say, a short amount of aerobic activity, then we would want to think about, okay, when is the last time we've done aerobic activity? Now, this is not about being the authoritative dietitian and saying you have to move your body, you have to do aerobic exercise. No, it's simply looking from a neutral observer and saying, oh, are we getting winded when we try to walk for 20 minutes? Okay. When is the last time we tried to walk for 20 minutes? Is it the size of our body, or is it because we don't have practice doing the thing that we're trying to achieve? And the way I like to think about this is like a marathon runner, right? If you go out and try to run a marathon and you're like, fuck, I can't do it. My body sucks. I can't run a marathon. I'll use myself as an example. We don't even have to use a marathon as an example. Let's use like 2 miles. If I try to go out right now and run 2 miles, I don't think I would be able to do it. And it's not because the size of my body. It's because I can't tell you the last time I've tried to run. I am not aerobically fit to do that. And I don't mean fit because of the size of my body. I just mean I don't have practice with that, right? And so if we're trying to feel physically pleasant in our body, let's say there's shortness of breath, quickly winded, trouble going up and down the stairs, trouble standing, you know, up and down off of a couch. Well, instead of going into a CrossFit class and doing something crazy and like going balls to the walls with like crazy movement, can we practice 20, not even 20, 10 times a day, getting up and down off the couch, doing, that's a squat, going up and down, you know, with proper form, supporting our back, supporting our hips. These are things that if we're having trouble doing something, we have to practice doing that in order to be able to do it. And I don't mean this from a place of you have to do that. I'm coming from the lens of if a client comes to me saying, I want to be able to walk up and down the steps. I want to be able to get up and down off the floor to play with my grandchild or, you know, whatever it is. Then let's find that intrinsic motivator. Let's not shame ourselves in the process. And let's work on some things that we can do physically in order to get closer to the goal of what you want to achieve. But this is walking such a fine line because diet culture is so, right, authoritative and goal-oriented and shameful that it can feel very scary and even icky sometimes to do these things. I also want to talk about pain as another example, like knee pain, for example. I have many clients that reside in all size bodies that have knee pain or back pain. Again, if someone in a larger body goes to a doctor might say, have you tried losing weight? That's weight stigma. That's placing a bias or a judgment on somebody due to the size of their body, thinking you know something about them when you know nothing about them. This person may have an eating disorder. This person may starve themselves. And you're asking, have you tried losing weight? Again, I have clients that reside in smaller or straight-sized bodies that have knee pain, back pain. So if weight loss was the cure to the pain, they can't lose any more weight. And neither does the person in the larger body. But what I mean is like the doctor would never look at them and say, have you tried losing weight, right? So when it comes to pain management, what have we been doing? Have we gone to PT? Have we gone to a chiropractor? Have we gone to an acupuncturist? Have we tried different forms of pain management? Have we tried strengthening the muscles and or ligaments around the injury? Have we, there are so many things, cupping, dry needling, right? Like there's so many different forms of pain management. I am a registered dietitian. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor. I'm not a physical therapist, although I have many physical therapists that I could recommend. But what are we doing from a pain management standpoint? Or are we scapegoating our body and saying, I'm so fat, I'm so lazy, my body's the problem, I'm in so much fucking pain because of my body, I hate my body. And this is where the physical and the mental, emotional piece of unpleasantness often get wrapped into that really confusing ball I was talking about, where it's like, I'm feeling physical pain, so I'm blaming it on my body, but then I'm shaming myself in the process. And oftentimes when shame is a part of the process, it keeps us feeling paralyzed and we do nothing but stay in this shame spiral. I want to use one more example of clothes that don't fit our body comfortably. No matter what body you reside in, no matter what sized body you reside in, you might have clothes that do not fit your body comfortably. They may be too small for your body. And I want to also acknowledge that I have thin privilege. I reside in a straight-sized body. I can walk into any store and know that they are going to carry my size. Those who reside in larger bodies don't have that privilege. They don't have the ability to just walk into a store and know that these stores are going to, you know, carry their size. That is weight stigma, right? That is a huge issue with the society that we live in and how much shame that even instills that we don't even know if a store holds our size clothing that we want. But I do know that it is a universal experience, no matter what size you live in, that all freaking clothing sizes are fucked up. I went to Nordstrom Rack the other day and I got three different sizes of clothes. They all fit my body. They were three different sizes. My body didn't change in the dressing room, right? Like, my body wasn't changing, but somehow three different sizes fit my body. So this is where I want to invite you. If you're saying, well, I'm physically uncomfortable in the clothes that I'm wearing, my body is the problem. Is your body the problem, or is the clothes that you're putting on your body the problem? And I recognize that this takes so much privilege to be able to afford to purchase other clothes that fit your body. This does not mean that you need to go get a full new wardrobe and throw out all your old clothes. But is there a way that we can support ourselves to feel the most physically pleasant that we can in our bodies? So is it buying just a few pieces that you know that when you put them on your body, they feel comfortable, they feel pleasant? And the clothes that don't fit your body in this current moment, if you're not ready to get rid of them or you don't want to get rid of them, can we at least put them in bags and get them out of sight, out of mind? So let's keep your closet as a safe haven. The only clothes that are in your closet should be the clothes that fit your body currently. And can we put the bags of the clothes that don't fit our body in a closet, in the trunk of our car, in an attic, in a, you know, wherever, under the bed? Can you get rid of these clothes so when you walk into your closet or when you open a dresser drawer, that the only thing there are clothes that fit our body comfortably? It's one less trigger that we have to sort through. And I always love to use the analogy of, like, can you imagine if you tried to wear a pair of shoes that were three sizes too small and walk around all day long? Let's say they were high heels. Let's step it up a notch. Let's say you try to wear stilettos that were three sizes too small all day long. Would you be able to focus on anything else? Absolutely not. You would be hyper fixated on the fact that your feet fucking hurt. And we don't look at that example and say, oh, my feet are the problem. My feet are too big. But that's what we do with our body. We put clothes on our body that don't fit comfortably. And we say, my body's the problem. I need to lose weight. What if, just here to plant a seed, what if we could try to find clothes that fit our body comfortably that would help us feel more physically pleasant in the body that we currently reside in? So I want to make this, you know, so extremely clear that there's a big difference between feeling physically unpleasant and mentally and emotionally unpleasant. And today we shared and dove into the physical side of things. I also want to give one more example. I shared a little bit and I said low energy. This is a one, you know, maybe it's brain fog, maybe it's trouble concentrating, low energy. And I often find people say, like, I need to lose weight because of these things. Well, I'm here to tell you again and to plant a seed. What if we're not eating enough? What if we're not eating consistently throughout the day? What if we're not properly hydrated? What are our stress management techniques? Are we always in fight or flight and on the defense? Are we getting enough sleep 7 to 9 hours a night? These are all things that fit under the individual behaviors category of the determinants of health. And the determinants of health, it's a wonderful, wonderful image from the World Health Organization that shows a pie chart of everything that impacts our health. So if someone comes to me saying, I don't feel physically great, I want to feel better in my body. Well, our health, the individual behaviors that we engage in, only account for 36% of our overall health. So it's really important to note that if we feel low energy, what if it wasn't the size of your body? What if it was because you're not fueling properly? You're not getting enough brain fuel, aka carbohydrates, which are our body's number one source of energy. What if we're not hydrated enough? What if we don't have proper stress management techniques? What if we're not sleeping enough? And so these are the things that I'm here to plant the seeds. I'm here to create curiosity for you that if you are scapegoating your body, I understand why. When we come from diet culture, we have been taught that there is something wrong with our body and we need to change it. We need to shrink it. We need to be smaller in order to feel better. But if that were the truth, then every single human being that resided in a smaller body would never have a medical disease or condition, would never feel physical pain in their body, and would just be the pillar of health. And so I'm going to preface this with saying we need to do a second part to this, because now we've talked about feeling physically unpleasant in our body. And I want to save for another episode, are you feeling mentally and emotionally unpleasant in your body? AKA, that is the body image, air quotes, work. When we do counseling on building a better body image with a client, it has everything to do with their brain and nothing to do with their physical body changing. Body image is all that mental, emotional piece. So I think we need to all take a deep breath together, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And I just want to thank you so deeply for staying curious, for staying open, for listening to the little seeds that I planted today. And if you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh my gosh, I need more information, I need more support, please help me, then you know that you can always go to findfoodfreedomresources.com. Again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com. And you can get so many different resources from our team of intuitive eating professionals. We have free trainings. We have a very low cost monthly membership with no cancellation fees that has loads of support. We also have group coaching, one-on-one coaching, all different levels of coaching, because every single human is at a different point in their journey. So please, if you're like, I really needed this today and I really need more support, head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. Take what you need and leave the rest behind. Thank you so much. And I will see you next week. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, because then we get to help people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to our social channels and follow us at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. I also want to give you a free gift simply just for showing up today. So if you head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com, you are going to get a free gift, again, just for being here. It's a training entitled, What the Hell is Intuitive Eating and How Do I Get Started? This training breaks down what intuitive eating actually is and isn't, along with breaking down the three biggest myths with intuitive eating, and will give you some practical steps to get started on your food freedom journey. So if you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody who you think needs to hear it. And when you rate and review, leave us some feedback, what you want to hear more of, what questions you have. The more that you share this podcast, the more this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. So thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Bye.